It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
Last week, the government announced the Ka Ora Ka Ako Healthy School Lunches program would receive $478 million in funding in the government's upcoming annual budget to keep it running for another 2 years, but at a lower cost. We also saw Transpower, Aotearoa's national grid operator, warning of possible insufficient power generation to meet the demand of households on Friday. I spoke to MP Simon Court for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party about this, as well as Court's comments on boycotting pro-Israel and pro-Zionism businesses, and New Zealand First introducing a bill that would ban transgender people from using bathrooms that align with their gender identity. Here is that interview. Over the weekend, you called Halal Kiwi, which is an app that helps people find halal foods and products in New Zealand, anti-Semitic, for creating a boycott list in line with the pro-Palestinian boycott, divestment, sanctions movement. If people don't want to support businesses that support Israel or Zionism, don't you think they have the right to?
Certainly people have the right to shop wherever they want. My point was that by calling for a boycott of businesses that are associated with Israel or Jewish proprietors, the Halal Kiwi app and its promoters are actually leading to anti-Semitism.
I do want to be clear though, Simon, they're not calling for a boycott of Jewish businesses. They're calling for a boycott of businesses that support Zionism or Israel. Do you acknowledge that there's a difference between Zionism and Judaism?
I think the important point is that when it comes to Zionism, that is a concept where the Jewish people sought a homeland where they were safe, where they were safe from pogroms, where they had a place to go after the Holocaust or Shoah, where millions and millions of Jewish people were rounded up and killed. And so the concept of Zionism is an important one for Jewish and Israeli people. It means a safe homeland. And so by calling for a boycott of businesses associated with Israel and Zionism, what the people promoting boycott seem to be advocating for is that they don't think that Jews should have a homeland or a safe place to live. And that was the purpose of my tweet. It's just unacceptable in New Zealand that we're importing the kind of division and divisive language that we are seeing being used overseas. And New Zealand is a place where people should feel safe, whatever their culture, whatever their religion, whatever they want to practice. I just don't think it's necessary. In fact, it's completely inappropriate to bring that here into New Zealand.
What is your definition of anti-Semitism? Do you believe any criticism of Israel or Zionism would be anti-Semitic?
Absolutely not. I think it's quite fair to criticise the actions of governments when it comes to what they're doing, particularly around armed conflicts that involve civilians. What we're seeing now in Gaza is terrifying for civilians caught up in that conflict on the ground. I would say that the criticism, constructive criticism, is entirely appropriate of what the Israeli government are doing in the way that they are trying to prosecute Hamas and trying to recover the hostages. They should be held to account for their performance in the same way as any government should be.
Is ACT a party that you would say supports Zionism?
ACT is a party that supports individual liberty and freedom, and that includes the freedom to be safe in your community. That is why ACT is a party that always advocates for the victims of crime here in New Zealand. We also would say that Jewish people and Israeli people have a right to feel safe in their own country, and that is Israel.
You've said in your statement on Halal Kiwi that exposing pro-Palestinian businesses, like exposing pro-Israel businesses, would threaten harmony, and those are your words. But the app also has a list of pro-Palestinian businesses. So do you really think that that is the same thing?
I think it's really unhelpful for those people who might have strong political views to start targeting individual businesses. It's not helpful. What we should be trying to do in New Zealand is identify where we can work together, the things we do have in common, for New Zealanders who feel strongly about what circumstances are for the civilians on the ground in Gaza and for the aspirations of Palestinian people to have their own self-determination. Well, you know, we understand they feel strongly, but creating lists of businesses to boycott is unacceptable. You know, that is not going to help bring New Zealanders together, and it's not going to help New Zealanders, you know, either on the world stage or here in our own country, solve some of the world's most difficult problems.
We do have to move on. So we saw that the last week the government announced it will continue to provide free lunches in schools, but at a lower cost. ACT previously called Ka Ora Ka Ako, the Healthy School Lunches Program, a marketing campaign for Jacinda Ardern's government. Do you still believe this is the case?
Absolutely. And even the way you've described it as free school lunches shows what an effective marketing campaign it was, because they're not free. They're funded by the taxpayer. What ACT has done is save around about $107 million a year compared to how the previous government funded it. But all students currently receiving a lunch through the program will continue to receive a lunch at school, but at significantly lower cost to taxpayers. And absolutely stand by our previous statement that Jacinda Ardern's government was pretty much a marketing campaign that cost Kiwis $100 billion in debt. The school lunches program and this concept of free is just another example of that. But what ACT and government will do is target savings from the lunch program to provide meals for up to 10,000 2- to 5-year-olds in early learning services. And this will be targeting children who attend these low-equity, not-for-profit, community-based learning services. And that will be funded using the savings from the school lunch program.
Yeah, we do have to move on. Sorry, Simon, but I did want to ask about the fact that the cost per student under your revised program will be roughly $3 per student. Do you believe that this is enough to provide those low-income students without food with enough sustenance for the school day?
Absolutely. The meals will be nutritious and delicious. Nutrition will be a consideration during procurement, but, you know, many parents, 75% of parents, provide food like sandwiches and fruit in their school lunches every day. And, you know, if we buy in bulk, we can deliver nutritious, healthy, delicious food. It doesn't have to be an expensive program. We can reach a lot more kids.
Okay, we do have to move on to our next topic as well, which is last week we saw TransPower warned we were very close to having insufficient power generation to meet demand from households across the country. Energy Minister Simeon Brown, he's blamed this on the previous government discouraging investment in gas generation. Do you think that this approach is sustainable?
What Minister Brown was pointing out is that at peak times, when we have high usage on cold, still days, there is no current alternative to gas-fired generation. And what the previous government did by trying to essentially sterilise natural gas production and the use of natural gas in New Zealand by banning oil and gas exploration, they sterilised the opportunity to stand up more of these 50 megawatt size gas peakers. These are about the size of a jet engine on an Airbus, and you can start them with a text message. In 20 minutes' time, they'll be putting 50 or 100 megawatts into the grid. That's the type of fast start peaking that we need to get over these periods of low wind, cold temperatures in the early mornings and evenings. It's going to be absolutely vital we continue to put that type of generation into the grid over the next 15 to 20 years so it's available. At the same time, building out renewables to make them more affordable and more available. We have to do both.
Labor's energy spokesperson Megan Woods has said the government needs to do more to invest in electricity storage, and that their Lake Onslow battery scheme would have done this. What do you think about this plan?
The Lake Onslow battery scheme was to build a very expensive, environmentally damaging dam at the bottom of the South Island in a UNESCO World Heritage Area. And conservative estimates would have cost $14 to $16 billion to deliver it, and it wouldn't have been available till the middle of next decade. Megan Woods is wrong. What we do need in terms of storage is local storage and improved distribution. We can see that through the kind of batteries that are being stood up by Vector in Auckland that provide smoothing at peaks. There's all kinds of other technology that is available right now. Those green boxes you see on the side of the road, the transformers in every suburb, they can also be upgraded to provide storage. And there's a lot of stuff we can do that doesn't involve building a $14 billion dam in a UNESCO World Heritage Park. And Megan Woods is wrong. There's a lot of other opportunities.
To finish up, I wanted to talk to you about a members bill that we've seen New Zealand First introduce, which would fine people for using a bathroom that does not correspond with their sex assigned at birth. It's also calling for the disestablishment of any unisex bathrooms. This is going to cause concern for a lot of people in New Zealand. Is this something that ACT would support?
I can't preempt caucus position, but I'm not averse to Winston Peters riffing on these issues. I mean, it's great politics for New Zealand First because it speaks to a very real concern that many women have, that they're losing access to single-sex spaces. The Act does agree that women and girls deserve to feel safe when using the bathroom, but the question really is, do we need additional regulations on building and private businesses? Act's caucus will consider this this bill if it gets drawn from the biscuit tin.
Yeah, is there evidence to suggest that women and girls, and I'm presuming you're talking about cisgender women and girls, are losing access to single-sex bathrooms and also don't feel safe in bathrooms because of trans people? Where is that evidence? Because I personally have not seen it.
I haven't seen it either, but I have heard concerns from women and from girls.
But what women, what girls?
Well, I meet hundreds and hundreds of people every year at public events, at markets and so on. So, I mean, I have heard this expressed many, many times to me as a concern. But, of course, you know, while people might feel very strongly about these matters, I think what's important is that if there is a bill going to be drawn that proposes some kind of regulation on bathrooms, that the ACT caucus has a chance to consider what that might look like. Because we're really not up for adding additional regulations on building owners and private businesses to police bathrooms or anything for that matter.
But how about schools? Is that something that you would consider for schools?
Well, I think it's important that, you know, when parents send their children to school, they can be confident that they will, that the children will feel safe when going to use the bathroom and they won't be confronted by somebody of the opposite sex in their bathroom. I think
that's but to be clear, that would be a child. They would be, in your words, confronted by another child.
Yeah, I think it's entirely appropriate that when we consider children, you know, are people up to the age of, say, you know, 14, typically regarded as children by the law, that, you know, parents want to know that when their children go to school, that they will feel safe when using the bathroom. I think that's a perfectly legitimate expectation that parents have and that children should have as well.
And so, to clarify, do you believe that currently people are not safe in bathrooms because of the ability for people to choose the bathroom that corresponds with their gender identity?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is a fear that is often raised by people when I go to public events or campaigning, and I think it's important that we acknowledge it's a real fear. And I think it's also important to acknowledge that, you know, children being confronted by people of the opposite sex in a bathroom that they've gone to use the toilet in could be scary for them. And, you know, we need to make sure that we're looking after the interests of kids who are at places like schools and in community facilities.
Do you think this is really what New Zealanders want? Is this really a policy that matters to people when we're currently going through a cost of living crisis and there's things that people are really struggling with?
Well, I think it's great politics from New Zealand First because it does speak to a real concern that women have expressed, that I have heard, that they are losing access to what they feel are safe single-sex spaces. Now, how high this is on the list of priorities for Kiwis, well, I know what's most important. That's the economy, that's the security of their jobs, that's knowing that the infrastructure that they need, you know, to live in growing cities or to live in communities where, you know, the infrastructure isn't that great, that there's a plan for that. And they also need to know that when their kids go to school, they're going to get a good education, and if they need an operation, that they can get good health care. Those are the things that Kiwis tell us are most important to them right now. That's what ACT will be focusing on this term of government.
I just want to confirm for any, you know, trans people who are listening or people that are allies to our trans community, ACT isn't a party that is going to advocate for them.
Advocate for?
For them and their ability to use the bathroom that they feel most comfortable in.
Look, ACT is a party that stands up for the rights of everybody and for people to feel safe and to be safe. At a granular level, what bathroom people use is something that we would say businesses and organisations should be in control of how they organise their own infrastructure on site. But, you know, transgender people, people from friends of that community can be confident that ACT is in their corner when it comes to standing up for their rights.
That was ACT's Simon Court on the continuation of the Healthy School Lunches program, power shortages around the country, his comments on boycotting pro-Israel businesses, and New Zealand First's bill that would ban transgender people from using bathrooms that align with their gender identity.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.
Irirangi Pō, Radio Bosom.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.